Welcome to Where the Weird Ones Are.
Ice.
Every time I speak, I want the truth to come out.
Powerful figures in Hollywood, as well as powerful politicians, who are in fact not human, they're reptiles or they're lizards or perhaps extraterrestrials.
It is a human. I think it's a Sasquatch.
Go ahead and run. Run home and cry to mama.
Let's get weird.
What's up, you fucking weirdos? Welcome to another episode of Where the Weird Ones Are. My name is Kevin, but you probably already knew that. And if you did not, you fucking do now. Today's episode is with a good friend of mine. His name's Chris Holm. He is the host of Conspire, a theory. It's basically a podcast that's pretty similar to mine. Chris has a plethora of encounters. His first appearance on the podcast is a long time ago now. He's been on the show a couple times, at least two times. I know he was a part of a Conspiracy Tuesday. He had his own episode, and he comes back today, and we discuss, light beings, dark beings, entities, whatever you want to fucking call them. It's basically a theory episode, opinionated on what could be lurking in the fucking shadows. What is the paranormal realm? What is, like, is there parallel universes? Can we cross alternating timelines and shit like that? He tells us some stories, some encounters from his brother, an encounter from his mother. And he refreshifies our memory on his encounter with the quantum rednecks, which are his sleep paralysis demons. That's what he saw, which is pretty unique to him. I don't think I've ever heard the story from anybody else before, so it's interesting. It's very interesting. So, I don't know. I really enjoyed this episode, man. I was sick during it, and it still was a lot of fun. I'm not the type of person that when I get sick, I'm like, oh my God, I can't do anything. Some everybody and stop what they're doing and do shit for me. No, I still am the same person. I'm just miserable. But quick shout out to the sponsor, Flavors of the Forest. Raw garlic dust. Go get you some. You're not going to find anything better. I promise you, if you like the taste of garlic, you're going to like this shit. It also comes in spicy garlic. They have garlics infused with lion's mane and ginger. Dude, you're sleeping on it if you ain't getting it. You are sleeping on it if you ain't getting it. Head on over to flavorsforest.com and get yourself some today, because the shit you're buying at the store isn't even half as good. I promise. Again, that's flavorsforest.com. Go get yourself some bottles. You can also follow them on Instagram at flavorsforest. Nelson and Matt Amazing dudes, love them to death. Can't wait to get the opportunity to see them again. I met Nelson at Encounter Quest last April. Unfortunately, Encounter Quest is not renewing. Is not running again for 2025, but they are expecting a return in 2026. Let's see if we get there first. The world could end tomorrow. Who the fuck knows? But unfortunately, yeah, Encounter Quest in North Carolina will not be in 2025. And that's just the way it is. So, anywho, if you are interested, I am running the raffle one more week until Sunday. So if you're interested, Venmo me, Kevin Sabiel Jr. I am the only Kevin Sabiel Jr. in the motherfucking world, I promise. So Venmo me or PayPal me $5 for a ticket, $10 for five. You can get first place gets hoodie, t-shirt, protein powder, coffee, hot sauce, all four hot sauces. And I'm even throwing in one of these garlic for you to try it out yourself. And I believe that's it. So you get all the business ventures that I'm doing, the sponsor, and you get a hoodie and a t-shirt. So second place gets the hot sauce and a t-shirt, all four hot sauces and a t-shirt. And the third place gets two hot sauces and a t-shirt. So it's all to your choice. I'm not going to send you a random fucking t-shirt that looks stupid that, or that you don't like. I will let you go through the store and pick your own. So that's that. Also, if you decide to get, go on my merch store or on my website at all, and you buy a Down the Rabbit Hole hot sauce or Down the Rabbit Hole t-shirt, all those proceeds are going to go to David, who just went through multiple surgeries for a massive blockage. He had a heart attack 2 weeks ago at this point. And I am donating all the proceeds from both the hot sauce, the Down the Rabbit Hole hot sauce and the Down the Rabbit Hole t-shirt that are on my store, in my store. All the money that I make off of those items are going to go to him for his medical expenses. I already personally donated to him. So if you're interested in just donating to him yourself, you can reach him at __ down the dot rabbit hole __. Yeah. So he's a wicked awesome guy. I love him to death. He's like a brother to me at this point. And I don't know how I would feel if we would have lost him. I don't know. I don't know if I'd be able to really carry on, you know? I mean, I would be able to. You know what I mean? When you lose somebody, and I've never met the guy in person, and he's already extremely important to me. So, I don't know. If you guys are interested and you want the t-shirt or the hot sauce, just know that if you decide to get either of those, the money goes to David for his medical expenses. But yeah, so if you like today's episode with Chris or any of my other episodes, please like, follow, share, subscribe, leave a rating and review. Those are the best and free ways to help the show grow. If your catcher doesn't allow you to leave a review, you can leave one on the website where the weird ones are, podcast.com. You can also get the merch, the hot sauce, and the coffee on the website as well. So supplements should be coming soon. I keep saying that. I know. I want to make sure that they're all good. The protein is good. I know that. So it's just not on the store yet. So yeah, that's pretty much it. I've talked to you guys' ears off enough, but don't forget, if you're interested in the raffle, all the monies from the raffle goes to Amanda Goodwin, who's the host of One Nothing podcast. She's struggling down there in Florida. She lost her car. So we're just trying to help her raise some money for her to get a new one so she can continue working and continue doing her podcast, which she loves so much. Her jobs literally depend on her car. So, yeah. Anywho, so 305 Paranormal, they found a car for like $2,000 for her. So we're trying to get to that $2,000 at least, I guess. So right now I've raised $155 for her. So, you know, if you want to try and win some shit, cool. And if you don't win, just know that your money is going to a good cause to help a good person, because she is a good person and I love her very much. She doesn't know that I'm doing this. So I would prefer to keep it that way. Although I've announced it on social medias and stuff, I just don't think she's seen it, because she would have acknowledged it. She would have acknowledged it if she had. But anyways, again, I'm fucking talking way too fucking much. So let's get into this with Chris. Phenomenal episode. Really enjoyed this discussion, and I look forward to more. All right. Let's get into it.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Let's get weird! Let's get weird! Let's get weird! Let's get weird! Weird! Get weird!
What's up, my fellow weirdos? This is Jen and Mondo from 305 Paranormal.
And you're listening to Kevin from Where the Weird Ones Are. If you like what you hear, like, comment, sub, and share to hear more. Peace.
Well, howdy do, neighbors. Welcome to another episode. And I definitely put an R in episode. I don't know why I did that. I meant to say episode. But today I got Chris from Conspira Theory, one of my good buddies here. We've been talking off and on for a while now. He has an episode on here already. But for those that don't know you and are unfamiliar with you and your show, if you don't mind, Chris, just letting everybody know a little bit about yourself, where they can find your show and all that stuff.
Yeah, sure. I host a podcast called Conspira Theory. You can find it on YouTube and Spotify and everywhere you find good podcasts. You can find me on social media on Instagram at Conspira Theory, all one word. Also on X at all one word, Conspira Theory as well. And I'm sure at the end of the episode, when I sign off, I'll let you guys remind you. And just to give you a brief overview of the episode that me and Kevin had done, I had brought in the story about mostly, I guess, a sleep paralysis episode of what I'm now referring to as the quantum rednecks invading my bedroom and going through all my shit. And that was a funny story. And then we had another funny story where I had this lucid dream where I actually had sleep paralysis in the dream, which was crazy. And there was this being next to me in the bedroom, and I actually reached out. I wanted to grab her wrist, but instead I grabbed her ass cheek. And then when like reality decided to shift in the dream, stream ended, I had like this death grip on the corner of my mattress, and it was unreal. But it was a good episode. I don't know. A lot of my experiences are more on the wholesome side. That's usually what I promote, is more wholesome paranormal stories to get this sort of sense of wonder and bewilderment. I don't run into too much scary shit, but you know, I'm not there. I'm sure that stuff is out there and I don't dismiss it, but it just hasn't come across my table yet.
Yeah. Well, first of all, Chris, I want to thank you for coming on the show. It means a lot to me for you to take the time to do this and chat with me. You know, like I say, I think I say almost every episode, time is our greatest currency. So the fact that you're taking your time to spend it with me means a lot to me. And I just want to apologize to everybody listening. My voice sounds jacked up right now. I am very stuffy. We did go out to the Great Wolf Lodge, if any of you are familiar with that, and I think that's where I may have caught the cold by being amongst a bunch of little kids and stuff. But it was a good time. It was a good time. Mm-hmm. Regardless, nobody seemed to pay attention to their children. Which is not a very good thing, because that's how you get your kids taken. So we had a ding dong ditcher. So if you're not familiar with the Great Wolf Lodge, it's a big hotel / water park theme park thing. So it's an inside water park and stuff, and they have rooms and stuff. And we were, I think it was like 8 o'clock, almost 9 o'clock at night, and we could hear just kids running up and down the hallway.
Oh god.
I was just like, oh my god. Yeah. And then I hear them knock on the door, and then I hear their footsteps run away, and I'm like, don't even bother answering it. They ran away.
Ding dong ditch.
Yeah.
At least that game is still active, you know, because what are they going to do right now? Like DM and ditch now? That's what the kids of the future are going to do. DM and ditch.
That'd be pretty interesting. DM and ditch.
I got that. That reminds me of a story. And yeah, it is great to us. I always love our conversations, and I'm always itching for another excuse to talk to you. I mean, hell, I even shaved and combed my hair just to come on here just to be pretty for you. And the thing is that there was this one time where me and one of my friends, we went to the showing of Frozen 2, you know, because I'm the Disney nerd. So I love, for some reason, I just love Frozen. And yes, I know there's these, you know, Illuminati type of, you know, esoteric evil signs. And I get it too. I just love the character of Elsa. I think she's badass. But anyways, we go there. They have like cosplayers all dressed up. And then me and my friend were sitting there, and she's watching the movie with me, and we're just sitting there watching. And then all these kids are just running around the thing. And then, because afterwards we were going to do a review of it. Uh-huh. So then all the kids are running around, and I'm like, god damn, you know, but they're all like little girls. They have their little Elsa dresses, and they're just, it's cute. It's adorable. And it's like in the theater as the movie is running. And, you know, I really don't care, because I'm like, I'm watching the movie, and it's a fun atmosphere regardless. And then we get out, we're in the car. I have my portable, MP3 recorder with me. I plug in the mics, and we're just setting up in the parking lot just right out of the movie, because we want to talk about it so badly, you know, because like it's just our thing that we share. It's like me and her, we're like UFOs and Disney shit. We're all about that. So we start talking about it, and then I can feel this scratch in my throat. I was like, oh no, those kids got us sick. And then I had to actually call in the next day or two, because I got like this really bad cold or fever or flu, whatever the fuck it was. It took me out. And I'm like, ugh. So, yeah, I feel your pain. I totally get it.
Yeah, I hate getting sick, but, you know, it's bound to happen from time to time. You know, you catch cold here and there. You can't avoid it forever. So I think the sore throat is what, like, I don't mind being stuffy and stuff like that and having a headache. It's when my throat is sore that it fucking pisses me off. But like, because I can't, it's harder for me to sleep. But anywho, so I've been hearing you making your rounds, actually. You've been on a lot of podcasts recently. You were on, who did I just hear you on with? You were on Let's Get Freaky a couple weeks ago, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you were on Natasha's podcast as well recently.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say there was another one.
Cryptid Creeps and Conspiracy, and I think it was an episode of Cryptid Warfare also. I got a chance to talk to Drewski. That was nice. A lot of fun.
Yeah, I love Drew. He's an awesome dude. Yeah. So, man, I'm really excited to talk to you. So, we're gonna talk about. You have a story about a ghost. Is it a ghost cat or a shadow cat? Is that what you said?
I figured tonight's theme will be light and dark, beings of light and dark. Mm-hmm. And I guess we'll go ahead and start with the shadow cats one. Now, you know about shadow people, right? The outlines of it, and sometimes they're like very distinct outlines.
Yeah.
And then I guess sometimes they're just like a blur of darkness, or like a void of darkness. Well, in this one, in this story, my brother was driving to work, is driving to the office, and there's this cross section that you have to pass. And when you, and since this was probably like 2-3 a.m. in the morning, or some of it was either obscenely late or obscenely early, whatever it is that you choose. And as he went to the stop sign, and then there was this, he saw a what he thought was a cat crossing the street. And then he took a closer look, and it wasn't a cat at all. It was just this void of darkness, and it had these two beady little eyes. But they weren't, like, illuminated. They were, it's as if you were, like, to take a sheet of paper and then punch a hole through it and then look through it, like, that way. It was sort of, like, translucent, where you could see the background as the cat moved. Or we assume it was a cat. It was some sort of, it moved animalistically, and it was just like this void, like this shadow, and it just moved like it was more than halfway across the road. And then when it saw him pull up, you know, and then it like spooked, and instead of, you know, completing the path like a person would, you know, instead it went back the way that it came, which was, that's more akin to animal behavior. Mm-hmm. So we assumed that it was some sort of shadow cat. I haven't yet had the time to really commit this one to illustration. I need to do that sometime, because it's such a it's a different kind of story than what you hear out there, because usually I don't know that we see or hear too many shadow or veiled in darkness, voided animals. We heard about people and stuff like this, but when it comes to like animals and stuff like this, I don't think that those stories are very rare. And I don't know, I can't recall too many. I don't know if I want to toss that to you, if any come to your mind.
Well, my first thought is Lavender. So she's been on the show. She talked about seeing shadow cats. So, which I know she's a mutual friend of ours. Mm-hmm.
I've spoken to her recently.
Yeah. Does your brother recall, like, size wise? Are we talking domestic cat or like cougar size?
I think at the time he detailed that it was mostly just the size of like a small house cat.
Okay.
Just like a regular cat. So it was probably like, you know, I don't know if it was just a ball of darkness, but I guess he said it seemed more like elongated, like it had like a body.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it had like a little tail coming up or something like that, or if it was like, because it definitely wasn't like a cutout. It was more like an absence of light walking across the, you know, scampering across the stuff. I don't know if he detailed if it had feet or anything. But it was, you know, it was like a void of darkness, like a, but it didn't have a distinct outline of shape, like I'm sure like you've experienced, where you saw a distinct outline. And I have a similar experience where I did see a ghost with like a specific outline, but this one, it didn't have that. So it was sort of something, it was something else. So it, I don't know, I guess it, maybe the cat was invisible and it was just its shadow or some shit like that. I don't know. That,
like
that
a probably, Glimmer Man, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that. Something along those lines. But it was very distinctly a smaller sort of lesser animal. And the way that it behaved was very, you know, animalistic, you know, it, even though we, that's just the only setting that we saw. Is it, you know, 'cause like a person, you know, if they're crossing the street and then a car comes up to stop sign, you know, they'll put a little pep in their step and continue crossing the street. But an animal like a raccoon or a cat or some type of animal, they don't do that. They just, they go back the way that they came. They just shoot right back the direction that they came rather than continuing sometimes. And most of the time, I don't know. That's just, I guess it's just a predator response or something that they you know, they take the safest route, and that would be the route that they know, type of thing.
Right. I think I've only seen one shadow figure that I could tell what it was, you know what I mean? Like, I've seen shadow people my entire life, but I could only tell that they were people, like they were outlines of a person, but not any like specific details until this house, which I mean, the listeners have heard the story several times, but it was, you know, a voluptuous woman, something that I would find attractive, you know, very, you know, big hips, chesty, long flowing hair and stuff like that. And she was, she was walking like she was C-3PO, which was the weirdest fucking thing. So I don't know if subconsciously I'm afraid of robots, but yeah, man. It's like complete, like you said, complete void of light. It was so dark that it was darker than the darkness. And
yeah,
it was, I think that was probably by far one of my most terrifying experiences, just because it was, it almost seemed like it was coming for me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't know what its intentions were. So,
yeah,
and I think that it using this full figured woman outline, again, something that I would find attractive, was to throw me off that guard, like just to kind of like, let me, like, I don't know, put my guard down kind of thing. And I almost wonder if that's what, like a cat, a shadow cat would kind of be like, for some reason, take your attention off of something to look at it, you know? But I don't know. So like, again, like Lavender, I don't know if she's told you the stories of her shadow cats, but they used to like sit, I think one of them used to sit at the foot of her bed, if I remember correctly, and just kind of like sit there and stare at her. And she just felt like darkness, like, not evil, not necessarily evil, but not good either. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
I don't know. It's interesting.
I don't know if we got into that when we were mostly just discussing basic conspiracy stuff. You know, it was mostly fun stuff. But I'll have to reach out to her again and get that story from her, and we can compare notes. But I'm glad that you brought that to my attention. I'll have to reach out to her for that. Yeah, the ladies at on Wednesdays, or yeah, on Wednesday, is it early on Wednesdays?
Yes.
Yeah, they are fantastic.
Wednesday. They are. Yeah, them both.
Yeah. The thing is that, you know, I mean, with your encounter, it is something that it's sort of like the creature is sort of like Silent Hill meets Jessica Rabbit. And yeah. And the thing is that if she came after you like specifically to either, I don't know what resource she was going to require from, she was going to acquire from you, if it's going to be just that adrenochrome fear or just to spook you or to like establish territory or whatever it is, you know. I mean, she must suck at it, you know, because imagine she's got to go back, you know, and report to Shadow Man HQ and be like, you know, I got turned down again, you know, he popped out of it at the last minute, you know.
Yeah.
And just got like reported into then got demoted like that. Well, she's got her big ass jiggling as she walks and stuff like that. Poor girl.
She's not allowed to come back anymore. That's why I haven't seen her.
Yeah, she got demoted. She's mostly just, you know, cleaning sewers now, scrubbing the toilets.
Working at the sewage plant. Oh man. So did he like, so did your brother, he have any feelings about it? Like, was he overcome with any kind of like positivity? No, I think or it negative?
I don't think there was any emotional stuff. It was just like, I believe what happened was they caught each other off guard.
Uh-huh.
Like if it's something he wasn't supposed to see, probably, and then the whatever entity was there wasn't supposed to be seen.
Mm.
I guess they just, you know, it just crossed wires at the perfect moment, because it wasn't there long enough to like cast its spell on him, if that's what they do, or for it to have up its like aura of fear. You know,
yeah.
That it. I don't think it encountered or it expected to encounter anyone. It's just scampering along, and then a car pulls up. You know, it's like, oh shit. You know, like I said, it was a bare. It was a very sparsely populated. At that hour, there would have been nobody out for it for any type of interaction. If it was a predatory beast of some sort, there would have been like minimal activity. If it was just a regular cat, it would have been out there mousing, you know, looking for mice and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But whatever it was clearly in transit. It was going somewhere, and its journey was just interrupted. And I think it was just caught off guard.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you have any theories on what these shadow figures are they all the same, like every single one? Are they different? Do they have different purposes? Like, do you have any thoughts, theories on that aspect?
From the many encounters that I've heard so far, it sounds like this shadow form tends to be like a default form for many different entities with many different intentions. You know, because like in your instance, you saw a shadow figure, and I guess its intent was to assault and scare you. You know, you were clearly targeted mm-hmm. by, you know, something with predatory intent. And I had like another similar, like not quite base for base translation like yours, but I had an encounter with a shadow creature or shadow entity in my apartment where I was, I call it this like a temporary haunting, where I first moved in, and for the first 6 months you get that, you know, new house jitters or whatever it is, where you're getting used to a new place. And then I get in there, and then down the hallway I see glimpses of what looks like a little girl, the silhouette of a little girl. And her hair is up, like it's underwater, like it's wavy. Like, it's either like underwater or it's like snakes wavy.
Wow.
And she just walks down the hallway. It was just like a silhouette, you know. And I just catch glimpses of it out of the corner of my eye. And I feel this heaviness in the air. And I feel presenteeism, which is where, you know, like there were these studies where people would put on the God helmet, it would stimulate parts of their brains, and they would feel a presence in the room with them. Mm. And they couldn't explain it. It was, you know, it was some sort of like, what do you call it? Frequency, misalignment in the brain or something of that nature. But anyways, I would feel that. And I felt it for like 6 months. And then it one day, you know, it just stopped. Like I just felt it. I guess it just packed its bags and left. And when that happened, I really didn't quite, you know what to make of it. It was sort of like, you know, it was just like, it was like a not exactly a one and done. It happened for like a period of, I would say, about 6 months that I was, you know, getting used to the place. And then, you know, it just eventually faded out. I figured it was either some sort of transitionary spirit. I guess that's what I would attribute it to. But what was in my hallway and what was in like the door frame of your bedroom when it came into you, I think it's very clearly that they weren't the same thing. I wouldn't consider them the same thing. Yet they both had similar properties and that their silhouette was very clearly outlined in the sort of like, you know, ultimate matte black color.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that whatever the form is, it's like a default form for like a bunch of things can adopt this type of form and utilize it. Yeah. So as far as if it's just one thing, I don't think that's the case. I think it's like multiple culprits. They just happen to shop at the same, shadow outlet.
That's a good analogy or metaphor. I like that. I definitely think so too. I agree with you on that. Mm-hmm. Because like I said, I've seen countless shadow figures. Never once was afraid of it. Well, I mean, when I was a kid, I was afraid of them because I was a kid. But they never did anything. And I was seeing them here in this house in the hallway, which actually I haven't seen them. I haven't seen anything in quite some time now in this house, ever since I've had JJ Rose remote view to my house. Ever since she's been here, there hasn't been anything going on, which I'm super grateful for. But even those shadow figures, I just see them hanging out and I'd be like, if I told them to leave, they'd leave. But most of the time I didn't even say anything because they weren't doing anything. They were just literally standing there or sitting there somewhere in a corner. And then that one that came into my room, and I almost like, I get the sense from that one that it used the shadow figure form because it knew that it didn't scare me anymore. So like the, for some, and to choose that figure as well. So using both of those things, I feel like it was meant to be, to make me more familiar and I don't know, not to unsettle me right away, but the way that it moved, it's almost like it tried so hard to get me to be comfortable, but yet it failed the minute it started moving. You know what I mean? Kind of thing. Yeah, so
I can get that.
Yeah. I don't think that it was a true shadow figure regardless.
Yeah. Whenever it comes to like, creatures of darkness, there's, you know, other, the lore is countless because it's such mm-hmm. a popular aesthetic for whatever is out there to adopt. I mean, you've heard like the countless stories of the Black Shook, the Snarly Yow, and all these types of creatures that, you know, are the hellhounds and the dogs that, you know, envelop themselves in darkness and stuff like this. And to know that there's like other stuff out there that's, you know, taking on a similar aesthetic in that form, you know, I have to wonder, you know, if this was more common in ye olden days when everything was by candlelight and gaslight versus, you know, the modern, I wonder if our modern fluorescent lighting and you know, electronic lights and everything. I wonder if that has a factor in the how often we see them, whether it's more or less, because the world that we have now versus the world of, you know, just 100 years ago is drastically different.
Yes. Yeah. And just over the past, like, 10, 15 years, the lights outside, like street lights and, you know, pathway lights for parks and stuff, those lights are completely different now. Because they're LED, they're brighter, they cover more area, it looks cleaner, you don't have that light pollution. Well, it's still light pollution, but you know, with the old lights, especially like 80s and 90s, those lights weren't covering much ground. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but it's light has become more of an easier commodity, so that I feel like more things are lit up, and I think that it's harder to see through the veil, especially, I don't know. I think people being able to see through the veil too, has gotten less for a lot of people. I think we used to be able to see through into the other side a lot more than we like, because we use mediums and psychics for that now, in the 20th century. And I feel like maybe 2000 years ago we were able to do that. Everybody was able to do that. So I think the more modern the more technologically savvy we become, I think the more disconnected we are from source, which shuts off the certain senses to these things. Again, these are just opinions and thoughts and theories. I'm not saying this is actual factual or anything like that. This is just kind of like something that I've theorized over the past year or so. I think that the more light that is provided, the less that these things can be shown. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I mean, there's times that these guys were probably, you know, all over the place, and we just didn't see them because they were, you know, I mean, nobody worked at 3 a.m. in the morning, you know, yes, except the night watchman who's coming along, you know, it's 3 a.m. and all's well, you know, that guy was the only guy that was out, and, you know, and he was just getting through his shift, and we're more active as a species. We're, you know, we're not built for nighttime, but we push ourselves out there, you know, and we're probably, you know, maybe we're the ones intruding on their territory and their turf.
Yes.
Because, you know, the nighttime was their domain. You know, and I do feel like so much of what we see is stuff that we're not meant to see. You know, like every single spooky experience I hear is like so much of it is either we catch something sneaking up on us or we catch something off guard and then it freaks out and runs off, you know, and it's just there. Yeah, there's just a lot out there. And I think that we're probably on something when we discuss on the cultural changes on how things, you know, are today versus, you know, the generations ago, that I think that these things were known about, but they were just, you know, I guess sort of kept hush hush, and it's just, you know, I don't know. I just feel that the more active that we are now, that factors in
to, yeah,
the frequency that we're seeing them. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, we're doing things that we as a species weren't necessarily meant to do, we're, like you said, more active at night. We fly, we're not supposed to fly. We are on the ocean, we're not meant for the ocean. So there's a lot of things, and you know, spelunking. People are spelunking and finding some weird shit, and we're not meant for our bodies aren't meant to fucking withstand caves and shit. That's why people
caves are freaky shit.
Yeah, that's why people fucking hallucinate when they are in a cave too long.
Yeah, yeah, it's the. The cave shit, you're never gonna find me in a cave. Because I've heard too many stories of people of you know these adrenaline junkies. You know they get mm-hmm. stuck in a crevice and then they end up starving or suffocating to death. You know, and no one finds them for years. And it's like, no, thank you. You know, I've got nothing to do with that. And I'm totally open to the possibility, the speculation of all these nightmare creatures like Bigfoot and Dogman, you know, finding a home in these deeper caves, unexplored caves that we don't know about. You know, they just go up in there, you know, because they're sort of, you know, more acclimated for it, and they know their way, which way that they're going. You know, it's familiar to them. So it's like, okay, we'll run here. We'll do this thing. And then, you know, that's it, you know. And then us, we're not built for that. You know, I mean, I know that there are, you know, people who, you know, this is their livelihoods and stuff like this. But all I hear is that one guy's story. Was it 72 hours or 172 hours? And he had to cut off his arm with a fucking... With a nail clipper and shit like this, and then I hear that, and I was like, okay, yeah, you guys keep that domain.
Yeah, yeah. They made a movie about that guy too.
Yeah, I know. It's right. I mean, but the thing is, he did all that dumb shit, and he still got laid. So it's like, I guess he comes out winning at the end. You know, he still got the chick.
Yeah, I guess so.
So, I mean, it's like. You know, he's going to be telling her kids, you know, when I met your mom, it cost me an arm and almost a leg. He's the only guy that could actually say that. But still, he got his. So, you know, I'm good for him, but you're not going to catch me doing any of that shit.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to feel bad for people sometimes. Like, obviously, it's sad when they perish. And stuff like that when they do when they're out doing something that they love doing and stuff, but at the same time, like I'm in the line of thinking like you put yourself in that situation technically, like you knew the risk of this happening. It's just like deep divers and stuff, like so this guy I can't remember where they were. But this guy took his 16-year-old son. I feel bad for the son mostly. And they went into this cavern underwater. And there's this literally a sign that says, don't go past this point. And they went past it. And they ran out of air. And they found the son, the 16-year-old, floating. And the father at the bottom to where he wasn't supposed to be. So... like it's just there's so many of these like extreme sport adrenaline junkie stories of people dying just from like a silly mistake that they made and that you can't come back from it.
Yeah, I get that there's you know pushing the limit, but then you know you factor in personal responsibility in there as well, you know, and it's a balance. I get it. Mm-hmm. And you know, and I guess you know, on a smaller scale, some people could say the same thing about us. It's like, well, you guys delve into this spooky shit, and you end up, you know, write, you know, spooky shit on your doorstep. You know, it's like, well, what do you expect? And it's like, yeah, I mean, it's totally on us. Don't deny it. You know, yeah, we look into this stuff. So if we get like feedback or something comes home with us, you know. A lot of us are trying to take precautions to make sure that that doesn't happen. But yeah, that's totally on us and we'll totally own up to it. And I'm sure that that extends to everyone else too, that, you know, like, hey, this is how I choose to live my life is, you know, whatever rewards they get out of it, you know.
Yeah. And I'm not saying Right. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with going out and doing these things. I'm just saying, like, I have a hard time sympathizing when something goes wrong. I mean, I fought in a cage freaking when I was 18, 19. I could have died from that, from freaking brain damage. You know what I mean? I could have got fucking like a hemorrhage in my brain from getting knocked out or something. Thankfully, I never did. And I got out before I got, I don't know, as seriously hurt. But, you know, there's, you know, doing that, I could have got fucked up. Street fighting when I was in high school and stuff like that, I also could have died or killed somebody on accident. Again, the brain is where we live. This is our complete entity is up here. This is who we are. It's all the waves, all the electricity. So when you smack that fucking thing, it's just like, what's his name? Katy Perry's ex-boyfriend there that got into a motorcycle accident. He was on Sons of Anarchy. And then he moved in with some lady and went crazy and killed her and then killed himself. You know?
And yeah, Aaron Hernandez. Head injury, yeah.
Yeah. It completely, once something fucking, once something goes on up here, it can completely change our personalities, which is wild. So, to think that sometimes I wonder if there's more than just us up here, you know what I mean? If that makes sense.
Yeah.
The fact that if our brain gets rattled around and we can become somebody completely else, I sometimes wonder if we're inhabited by more than one spirit.
Yeah, I'm sure that there's got to be some sort of collective unconscious and something of that. I do think there's something like that out there. I don't know how to best describe it, but
yeah,
the information is somehow out there in a sort of cloud-like thing. Like, I mean, when people deal with, you know, demons and shit like this, a lot of them, they'll bring up that information, this, you know, delicate information that only that person can know. And it's like, well, where is that information stored for the entity to use that to then try to trick people with? You know, it's like the information is out there somewhere, whether it's like locked in our DNA or there's some sort of ethereal Akashic records that everyone can, you know, tap into or something like that. I don't know. Those go into like the grander, more spiritual stuff like this that I think until this time we could only speculate. I don't know that we have the means to really look into it or even how to understand it. And I'm a bit, you know, I'm a bit cautious on how we approach that stuff. Because like a lot of people, they figure, well, the answer to that is to, you know, take off all your clothes and meditate in the woods for like, you know, hours upon decades and years, and then the other one is like, yeah, just take some drugs and you know, and sweat until you're like a drooling, you know, a vegetable, you know, and then you'll see the machine elves and all that shit, and a lot of it I think has to do with us too, because like how we are mentally is how we see it. Because there've been people, they've had like encounters with the machine elves, and the machine elves just point and laugh at them and call them racial slurs, and they bitch about it. And then you talk to the person and it's like, oh, that's how they live. They see racism everywhere. So no wonder that's what the machine elves brought you, is what you expected to see. You know, it's like your personality sort of predisposed you to receiving a certain experience when you went beyond the veil. And I don't know. There's more to that, and I know you've talked to people that have gone onto that, onto those sort of greater journeys, as I can only call them. And I don't know enough about that to really, you know, shoot my mouth off. And yeah, I get it. I totally sound like an asshole, but you know, I can only peek at it from the surface level.
Yeah, yeah, and I would say that the fuck was I gonna say? I was gonna say something. Oh, I would say it's all, like you said, like it's all perspective as when it comes to these certain like spiritual journeys. I think so. You have like Aleister Crowley, fucking L. Ron Hubbard, Jack Parsons, and there and all these other people, freaking John Dee, Joseph Smith, all seeing these entities. Aleister Crowley didn't see an angel, he saw an alien, but I think they're all seeing the same thing just from their line of perception, you know what I'm saying? So like, because Aleister Crowley didn't believe in angels and or religion or God, I guess, so he was seeing an alien, and everybody else was seeing what they believed to be the higher power. So when you do these things like DMT, or you do ayahuasca, and you have these like these awakenings, I feel like it's perspective, and it's
yeah.
Your perception being affected in another realm, or what you think is another realm, or you could actually be in another realm and experiencing a completely out of body experience. I don't know for sure. I haven't done it either, so I could also be sounding like a complete asshole. I know people who have, and most of their stories are similar. Like, so Adam Butler, he came on talking about, you know, his DMT stuff. I have a close friend of mine who did the DMT thing. And his first trip on DMT brought him to like a city of bubble people. They were like, not, they looked like people, but like bubbles, you know what I mean? Like they completely looked like us. It just looked like a bubble, and they talked to him like, and he was just like, "Hey friend, it's good to see you again," and stuff. He's like, "I don't know who you are." And then he saw a guy that was covered in eyes. And when he told me that story, he's telling me the story about he saw somebody in this room on a throne covered in eyes. And then everybody else was like regular town folk that looked like bubbles. And I'm thinking, this guy covered in eyes, the only time I've ever heard of an entity that's all eyes was Samuel in the Book of Enoch, which is an angel. And a lot of people have stories about him actually being a demon, ends up being a fallen angel and becoming a demon. So did he go to, if this is true, and if I'm just throwing fucking rocks into the ocean, could he have gone to hell? Is this what hell looks like, and is like trying to make you be like, oh, it's okay, it's everything's going to be all right, and then it's not, or something? I don't know. It's, again, it's all perspective, and you know, your perception is what makes up the world around you. So like you were talking about too, with anybody who is perpetuating racism, that's what they're going to see on these things, in these realms. If they're doom and gloom when they trip, they're going to see doom and gloom. Mm-hmm. So I don't know where I'm necessarily going with that, but again, perception is reality. Well,
let me just pick up the ball then. Just toss it to me. And I do think that there is something along the lines of our perception, because, you know, there's only so much of the world that we can see and hear and with our other five senses and acknowledge it. And That's just within a limited spectrum of, you know, of light and stuff like this. And we know that there's the ultraviolet world. There are sound frequencies that, you know, we can't pick up on them, but our dogs and cats sure can, and everything else. And you know, I mean, the how we interpret, you know, how we interpret sight is, you know, also, you know, interesting in that we're seeing. What we're seeing isn't like really what we're seeing. We're seeing how our brain interprets electric signals of light bouncing off of cones and within our corneas and stuff like that. And then that is then, you know, interpreted by the an area in our brain to then, you know, give us that what we see as, you know, quote unquote, visual data. And the thing is, that makes you think, well, that's what we see, because we're sort of like, you know, we sort of like decided, you know, universally that, you know, this is the color blue. This is the color, you know, whatever. And this is shiny and this is, you know, rough texture. And who knows what the real world actually looks like, you know, because there's a way that we perceive it. But, you know, what is the real world like? And there's stuff that exist outside of our perception, you know, and I'm talking about like maybe there's stuff that's beyond just, you know, germs and other bacteria stuff that we simply can't see because it's too small for us to perceive it. But there's also, you know, stuff that maybe it's just exists on a different level. And I think that that's what some of the other people, you know, like feel that they probably tap into that when they go into these other realms. And it's just one of those things that, like, you know, I mean, reality as we know it is a consensus. And as we know through, you know, the recent, you know, government lockdowns and stuff like this, consensus can change and even be, you know, manipulated for political purpose, you know, to serve an agenda, you know, or financial stuff. So, you know, it's like, you know, I don't know what I'm getting at. Like the real now is determined by all of us agreeing, you know, that, hey, this ball in this room is the color red. You know, that's the consensus that upon we judge reality.
Mm-hmm.
Yet we're still doing the stuff where, you know, I mean, scientifically, you know, we're judging like whether or not something is real or capable by whether or not we can put it in a box, you know, and test it on repeatable, repeated duplicate experimentation, you know, and because of that, you know, a lot of the spooky shit isn't real. Yet for some reason, a lot of people, you know, at least once or twice in their life experience some sort of spooky something or rather, you know,
yeah.
So I do believe that there is some sort of spooky something other. But, you know, just because we can't, you know, put it in a box, I don't know, just it's more mystery out there. And I don't know that everyone is really, you know, coming into it with, you know, the best intent.
Yeah.
I don't know what to make of it. So I guess we just keep asking questions.
Yeah. I think that's the best thing that we can do, is to continuously be asking questions. I mean, and there's people out there that don't believe in the paranormal, but yet they get scared by a ghost story or a ghost movie, you know what I mean? But you know, it's weird to me these for people to have experiences and then people to make you feel like you didn't experience it, or that they don't believe you in some kind of form or whatever. That has always been interesting to me. Now, I will say there's been people that have told me stories that I don't necessarily believe. And it's usually just the way that they tell me the story. And that's, again, that's just me judging them at first off. I will never tell them that they didn't. It's just a thought that's in my head. I'm like, I'm not sure if this person is telling me the truth. And it's usually, I'll tell you, it's always been my good, a friend that I went to high school with. His name's TJ. Every time he's told me a ghost story that happened to him, I'm just like, you know, I don't know if you're telling me the truth right now, because it sounds wild, and it totally could have been 100% true. But, fuck, I had a freaking point that I was going to go for, and I forgot what it was.
I think I got an idea where you were going with that. What you're talking about is the cynicism of skepticism that, you know, leaves a bad impression on people. And none of us want to be, quote unquote, those people.
Yeah.
Because they're just so, you know, because it's just, they ruin the party, you know.
Yeah.
They bring down the vibe.
Right.
And I get that. And in that I am in an agreement with, although, you know, yeah, I do respect the skeptical nature. I do respect critical thinking, you know, and I'm at a point too where I accept, you know, most people's stories as simply stories. I accept them as an account.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and when I question the account, you know, again, I'm not questioning them. I'm questioning the experience. And I try to make that, you know, clear that in my, you know, I don't want to come off cynical, but I try to, you know, maintain a level of skepticism, you know, and but not to shut stuff down, but to be more open-minded, where I'm not, you know, saying that they're wrong, that I believe they saw what they believe they say they saw. I think that's what the conclusion they've reached up to. My distrust doesn't lie in them. My distrust lies in the phenomenon itself. I don't believe that it openly represents itself as truthfully as we do. Like, as we were talking earlier on this episode, you know, we've had various encounters with shadow or creatures and entities that are all clearly not the same thing. They have different intent. They have different motivations. Mm-hmm. from our experience that we can detail from our experience. You know, I mean, they haven't directly told us, you know, because they don't stick around. But the overall point is that I think it is. There's nothing wrong with questioning the phenomenon itself, and to take people, you know, like, yeah, you say that happened. I believe that you believe that that's true. You know, I mean, unless it's found that you're ultimately lying or being deceptive, then the onus is on you then. Mm-hmm. for being deceptive. I'm trying to, you know, look at a greater mystery. That's my perspective. And I believe that you have a similar angle yourself. And I think that's what we're ultimately getting at. But we have a hard time putting it into words because the skeptics of our society are such cynical assholes that, you know, we don't want to invite them to our parties. But at the same time, the open-minded people are also just, they have the same, you know, problem as well, where they try to gatekeep, you know, the sort of exclusivity to spooky shit by simply saying, well, it's not happening for you or because you're not open-minded enough. And it's just sort of this, you know, I have something special, you don't. I have this special, you know, ray gun and you can't see it because you're dumb type of thing. It's that childish mentality that, you know, and it's no different than being a hardened cynical skeptic. You know, and I, you know, I do think that there's more to it. And I understand that you and me, we're trying to be better about that, you know. Yes. And let people tell their stories. And but at the same time, acknowledging that there's a lot of grifters out there and stuff. And I don't know, I'm trying to not step on my soapbox. Because we both have our soapboxes. You have your mental health soapbox where you're very adamant and passionate about that. Whereas my soapbox is toxic community. That's the one that I step on and I beat it into the ground. you know, and I'm pretty sure that, you know, when you and me enter a room, it's going to be like, oh shit, Kevin's going to talk about mental health. Oh fuck, Chris is going to talk about toxic communities. Goddamn. You know, and it's sorry, guys. But, you know, that's just, I'm trying to avoid that, but, you know, it's just, yeah, I guess if you have any thoughts that you want to finish that, and then before that, I guess we'll wrap up with, I got one story of a being of light that I think we'll end with, and I think that would be a good way to wrap it up.
Yeah, yeah. So, I'll just wrap this little thing up with this little bow here real quick. Mm-hmm. So, again, with the skeptics and whatnot, I do think that to tie it back into like perception and perspective, like the perspective of what we have around us, when people are actually doing like these spiritual journeys, they're looking into the darkness or whatever, they're gonna see what they're open to seeing as well. So if they're more skeptic, they might not see anything as profound as some other people who might be more open-minded and may have even had their own kind of like little experiences that made them want to delve into this stuff. So I think, again, that kind of plays into the what you see is what you perceive is what you see aspect of that whole part of the conversation. So I think that's ultimately where I was going when I brought into the skepticism around what paranormal or weird shit. But yeah, that's where I think I'll leave that. I want people to, what I hope for the future is for people to be able to have their opinion without people stepping all over it, or being able to have their own little perspective without anybody trying to shoot it down. It gets into this like this weird thing when it's posted on the internet. Somebody's always got to have some shit to fucking talk about it or anything like that. So I think that does tie into mental health. It does tie into toxic community as well. I think toxic community mm-hmm. plays a big role in mental health for a lot of people. You're exposed to some of these communities. You might be a part of it or feel or identify with so and such community, but yet your emotions are put down within this community, or like you said, gatekeeping and stuff like that can take a toll. So that's where I'm gonna leave that.
Yeah, I could get where, like a lot of us within our own communities, we want to set up like a safe space so that way people mm-hmm. feel comfortable sharing with us. You know, but we at the same time, by doing that, we can't stop passerbys from doing that. So I guess and that's why, you know, some people are reluctant to share their stories and usually wait until the end of their lives to do that, when they won't suffer social repercussions from it.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm
sorry, real quick. I don't know if I think I may have talked about this story, but this guy, he was an older gentleman. It was the 1950s up here in Maine. He was a hunter, outdoorsman, survivalist and everything. But he told this story one time and never told it again. And we don't even have his name. We just know the kind of guy he was. That's it. So it was early 1950s. He had just fueled up his truck at the gas station, and it was nighttime. I believe he just came in from the woods and stuff like that, and he wanted to make sure that he had all of his supplies for the next day. So he he starts driving down the road after fueling up his truck, and his truck just completely shuts off. So he gets out and he's looking around his truck. He pops the hood and stuff. He gets under his truck to see if there's any leaking, and he kind of like he stands up from being underneath his truck, and he looks probably 10 feet down the road. There's a goat man standing in the middle of the road, but he had like the human torso and the goat legs, and he still had horns, but everything else was human. And he just smiled at him and then walked into the woods. And he was also wearing a flannel shirt. And then he just smiled and then walked off into the woods. And then the guy, he got kind of like creeped out, and he jumped in his truck and just was like trying to start his car real quick, being like, come on, come on. And then it just started out of nowhere, and he was able to drive home. He told the story one time only, never wrote a book about it, never wanted his name to be associated with the story. And that's where it has been left.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Those one-offs, I mean, I love them, you know, and it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Oh man. So I just felt really compelled when you started talking when you were saying that to tell that story real quick. Yeah. I don't know if I've ever said it on my podcast, but I know I've told that story on another one.
That's interesting. Yeah. So I guess we'll go ahead and wrap up with, because we've been talking darkness. Mm-hmm. And, well, but what about the light? If there's a yin, there's got to be a yang, you know, type of thing. Well, I have one story of a being of light. This one was, it happened to my mother. At the time, I was 4 years old, and I think my brother was, you know, he was older than me. And at that age, when the kids are young, you can squeeze them into one room. You can squeeze mm-hmm. them into one bedroom. So we were in one bedroom in our home. And our home is like a three bedroom house. And there's like it has one of those L shaped hallways. And my mom, you know, she gets up, she wants to get a drink of water. It's the middle of the night. I have no idea when this is. And she, you know, walks down the hallway, you know, she's like half asleep, half tired, you know, just, and then she looks up to see that in the hallway outside of our bedroom is this being of light that's looking into our bedroom. It looks like as she could best describe it, it's just a figure. And I think it's the legs from the knees down are like transparent, where it's fading off, and it's just full light. It's white light, you know, emanating from it. And she, you know, she like jumps, she jerks from the jump scare effect of seeing this thing suddenly. You know, it's something that's not clearly not supposed to be there. So of course she jumps, and the moment she jumps, it disappears. And then, you know, afterwards, you know, talking to her, well, she's long passed since, you know, but that's one of the most, you know, profound stories. And growing up, whenever spooky shit would happen in the home, my mom would, you know, she'd explain it away. She'd rationalize it to us as it's our guardian angels. So of course that being, she told us, was our guardian angel checking up on us, you know, because, and as far as looking back at that now, from everything that I've learned about shadow people and other creatures, and I don't hear that much about beings of light all that much. The stories are out there. Usually these creatures of light are like, you know, they're made up of electricity, or they're like in the forest or something, like the will-o-wisp and stuff like that of that nature. It's something else entirely, but this was in our home, you know, and I really don't know what to make of that experience. I don't know. It's, you know, that's just all I have of the story, and I don't have anything more. you know, and I really can't get anything more of it. You know, it's mm-hmm. just you know, it's just like a mystery type of thing. So I do have to wonder, you know, was that, you know, an angel? Or you know, some people talk about how ghosts may not be ghosts, that ghosts may be, you know, people traveling through time. So if I was to take that perspective, then was it my mother, you know, life reviewing and checking in on the kids, you know, mm. when we were young and I guess when we were asleep, when we were manageable, is that her checking in and she walked in on her own ghost? You know, I offer that speculation and I think that's cute, but it's just, I don't know what to do with it. It's something, it's just, it's something. It's one of these things yeah. where there's not really, I don't know where to put it. It's not a shadow person. It's like the shadow person inverse. Yeah. And as far as any feeling, she didn't feel doom and gloom, but at the same time, she didn't feel like, you know, oh, this is clearly a cherub from heaven or something of that nature. She just, that's what she attributed it to it after the experience, you know, because it was so quick that, you know, that there was really, you know, you it wasn't fast enough for her to, you know, to well up any type of emotion other than fight or flight and just react. Mm. So I don't know. What are your thoughts? What do you think?
I like the theory that it was your mom, like life reviewing. I like that. Again, because I still don't, we don't know what a shadow person is. So mm-hmm. a light person, it almost seems like evil, good, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah. But
again, like I've never gotten an evil sense out of a shadow figure, in my life, other than that lady. That was the only time I've ever been scared of, like, deathly, like, they're going to hurt me kind of scare. So, like you said, a lot of people speculate that they're just, that shadow figures are just people from the future or something, and they're crossing the veil, and they're kind of might be even seeing us in the same way, kind of way. That is a theory that's going on out there as well. But for a light being, that's a hard one. That's a hard one for me because mm-hmm. there's an extra element to it. Have you ever spoken to Heather Mosier?
No, not directly. She's on my list of people to reach out to, but I haven't. Nah, is there any reason you bring that up?
Yeah, so she did, and she was doing a paranormal investigation somewhere. I want to say it was a jail, but I could be incorrect. But she had, it was her in a small team. So there was only like a handful of them there, and she experienced this by herself, but then she got the rest of the team to come and look at it, and it showed up again, and it was a light being, and it crawled towards her, and it freaked her out because of the crawling. But that's the only other person that I've, so far that I've talked to, that has experienced a light being. So
that's interesting.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah.
Again, she didn't have negative feelings from it or anything like that, or a sense of dread either. She was just got creeped out because it was crawling on the ground towards her. So
yeah,
it's interesting. I would like to say, if you see a light being, maybe it's a family member. Maybe that's why they see, that's because it's kin, you see it as a light. See them as a light. Mm-hmm. And the shadow people are just somebody that just happens to be in the same area in the future or maybe even past, and you're just crossing paths in the same point in time when the veil is thin, and that's why you see them. And it's the same thing for the light beings, except maybe it's a relative or a loved one of some kind, or something like that. Yeah. Maybe. Possibly. I don't know. Obviously. I don't know if we'll ever know.
Yeah. It's one of those things also. I don't know what to make of it. I mean, I've heard of other people having experiences with light beings, and you know, they're all within their unique contexts, but within the context, I rarely ever hear something that's, you know, very close one-to-one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm interested in, is the can I find something that I can relate to give me a better understanding? And so far that hasn't happened yet. But I'll definitely reach out to Heather Mosier. I'm familiar with her. I've heard her on other various shows, and we probably have a lot of mutual friends, so it shouldn't be that big a deal, but I'll definitely reach out to her and share my story and see if she's got anything to say about it. Sure. I'm sure a lot of the stuff that I've talked about it in one form or another from a lot of the mutuals that we speak to have ended up on her desk. So yeah. She's probably like, oh, another one from this guy. Okay. All right. And I have to put this one right next to the, what was it? The Quantum Rednecks. Yeah. Quantum Redneck guy.
So that's a good story.
The guy that groped a sleep paralysis demon. He goosed an SPD. Okay. That guy.
You just wanted to feel her curves.
Yeah. Seriously, I was going for her wrist. Because I wanted to grab something, because I felt like in the moment I was aware, and I was like, if I grab onto her, this will be the greatest scientific finding of all time. I'll win a Nobel Peace Prize or some shit. I don't know, some grandiose. I was having clearly grandeur going through my veins, and I reached out, and I guess I grabbed her ass cheek instead, you know, because it was, you know. I mean, it was soft, you know, until it turned into the mattress.
That's funny. That's funny. That's a good story. I like the redneck, the quantum redneck one, too. Mm-hmm. And I love your drawings, your your cartoons of them. That makes me laugh every time I see them. But are you still working on that comic book that you were talking to me about?
Yeah, I've got some of the pages laid out. I've got it all spaced out. I've got done a lot of lettering and shit like that. And I'll be, now that I'm on vacation, I can finally have some time to dedicate to do some drawing on it. And you know, now that the family festivities are done, I've got like a whole weekend to just pour into it, and I finally get all my ducks in a row, and I can't wait. I'm this first one, it's going to of course be the hardest one to do,
right?
But you know, hopefully since then I could, you know, then reach out to other people. There's like a lot of other people whose stories that I would like to you know, reach out to if this one works out well, you know, because like a lot of people, you know, they have these great stories where they're not scary. And that's the peak thing, where it's not always, you know, a fear induced traumatizing, you know, I barely escaped with my life type of thing. It does, you know, and it's a different approach than what we see. And that's what I kind of want to put a spotlight on. And when it's ready and when I have more to show, I'd rather, you know, maybe I can come back and we can dedicate an entire episode and get into it in more depth then, since, okay, you know, you're also a part of it as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd like that. I'd love that. That'd be great.
Yep.
All right. Well, Chris, I appreciate you so much taking this time out of your day to come hang out with me and chit chat. It was a fun conversation, man. I appreciate you.
Yeah. I really got to commend you for pulling through this, even though you were, you know, kind of like, you know, just dealing with a cold right now. I think I know how you feel. So I really got to commend you for, you know,
thanks, man.
You know, just putting up with it and letting me come up in here and take care of this. I'll go ahead and remind the people where they can find me, and then I'll just let you wrap up so that way you could tuck yourself in. Thank you so much. Okay, folks, you can find me at Conspire Theory on YouTube and Spotify and everywhere you find podcasts. It's Conspire Theory, all one word, on Instagram and Twitter. Thank you very much.
Yeah. All right, guys, that is the show. Again, Chris, thank you so much for doing this with me. It means a lot. But please like, follow, share, subscribe if you feel like doing so. Leave a rating and review if you also feel like doing that as well. If your catcher doesn't allow you to leave a review, you can leave one on the website, where the weird ones are, podcast.com. If you feel like talking shit there, you can do that as well. I don't mind. Also, you can get merch, hot sauce, and coffee on the website. You can also get supplements, but not yet. So I guess in the near future, you should be able to get supplements. So I'm teaming up with a supplement company to make my own brand of supplements. Same as the coffee. Obviously the hot sauce I make myself here in my house. So anyways, that's the kit and caboodle on that. So every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Central, you can catch me at Weird Java in the Morning with my good buddy David. We go live on YouTube, but you can always catch the episode after it's been aired. So again, Chris, thank you for doing this with me. This was a lot of fun. Everybody, you know the drill. Question everything and stay weird.
This concludes our broadcast day. Click.
Because in the end, none of us have very long on this earth. Life is fleeting. And if you're ever distressed, cast your eyes to the summer sky. When the stars are strung across the velvety night, and when a shooting star streaks through the blackness, turning night into day, make a wish.